And good evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. And tonight, it's always great when I have somebody in the studio. And tonight, well, she's one of my favorites just because, you know, I just love her coming in and having fun. And we talk about astrology, which we've been going over. Not really that great. But you know what? 2010 is going to be a great year, I'm told, anyway. So welcome, Nancy Arruda.
Thank you.
And how are you tonight?
I'm great, thanks.
Okay, so as we promised last summer, I think, we said that you were going to come and give us our 2010. What are we going to call this now? We went through the 09 series. Now we're to like 2010. Is that what we're going to call it?
I think so. 2010 it is. Sounds good to me.
So, well, why don't we just start?
Well, I always like to start with the numerology.
Perfect.
Okay. And when we add the year up, so 2 + 0 + 1 + 0, that equals 3. Now, there are 2 zeros in there, which, you know, don't really change the number itself, but it can be integrated as 2 paths of infinity. Okay. So we're going to be working through an infinite path throughout the whole year, kind of double fold.
Okay.
Okay.
What does that mean, do you think?
It means that the cycles continue.
Okay, I'm not liking that so far, Nancy.
It's not a bad thing.
Right, okay.
The earth continues to spin.
Well, I guess that would be a good thing.
Yes. However, we are dealing with a 3-year, and a 3 is a very fun energy. Okay, it's connected to celebration and joy, right, and fulfillment. So if we can continually consciously focus on that vibration of the 3, it'll make anything else seem easier when we're in a challenging time.
Right.
Okay. So focus on celebration and enjoyment, but don't forget to be responsible with your day-to-day matters, such as handling money or anything that requires responsibility. When we're in that place of celebration and joy, it's difficult to get serious and do the things that we may not enjoy doing quite as much. So if we're careful, everything's fine. Okay. The 3 vibration also pulls in a lot of creative and artistic abilities. So it's a very supportive energy for anybody in the creative arts or artists, musicians, anything along those lines. It will support their endeavors. Okay. As long as they continue to take responsibility and take all the necessary steps that are required in order to achieve success.
Okay.
Okay. With that concept in mind, we're pulling in the planetary vibration of Venus.
That's okay.
Because
nice.
The 3 is associated to the Empress in the tarot deck, which its astrological association is Venus. There is one note about Venus next year, which, you know, I don't care for too much, but and that is she's going retrograde next year.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
When Venus goes retrograde, there's quite a bit of emotional intensity. Okay. A lot of withdrawal. Okay. And we all need to withdraw from time to time to contemplate our direction and our process in life, to know where we want to go. And Venus is allowing us that opportunity. She will be retrograde more towards the end of the year. So from October the 8th, she goes retrograde in Scorpio. And what we're going to be evaluating is other people's values and beliefs. Transformation and regeneration. So transformation is required on some level with how we not only incorporate our own personal values and beliefs, but how we view others' values and beliefs. When we think about that vibration, it does pull in loans,
okay?
Borrowing money, okay? So if you're responsible and you do everything that's appropriately according to how society says these are the rules, follow them, there shouldn't be any difficulties. It will retrograde back into the sign of Libra on November the 7th. And here we'll be contemplating and doing some inner work on our relationships.
In November,
yes. Libra also rules relationship energy. Yeah. Okay. So particularly for women, when it goes retrograde, it's more the women contemplating the relationship versus the men.
Mm.
The men have their opportunity sooner.
with Mars? Really?
Yeah. It will go, Venus will go direct on November the 18th.
So it's only for 6 weeks, 7 weeks?
Yeah. It's usually like a 6.5 week period.
Okay. Okay. And does it do it every 3 years or every 4 years or something?
Every two.
Oh, it's every two. Okay.
Yeah. So I believe it's every 18 months, 18 to 20 months. It'll retrograde for 6.5 weeks.
Okay.
Okay. We are starting the new year off with a bang.
Yeah.
So the only reason I discussed Venus is because of her association to the three vibration.
Right.
Okay. So again, yes, the economy is getting better in my eyes. Okay. But again, we have to continue to be cautious with how we're spending other people's money, because if we're not, then that's when issues arise.
Right. So that's talking about like banks or credit cards.
Loans, mortgages. Right. It can also pull insurance in as well. Right. So like, you know, just do the math, make sure all your insurance payments are up to date.
Do they ever not let us be up to date? I guess it's also taxes too, right?
Taxes as well. If it's not up to date, then it's canceled, which means you'll have none.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
and so then you're really in trouble. Yeah. But yeah.
Well, if something happens, you're in trouble. If nothing happens, you're okay.
Till you want to get your license renewed.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't suggest driving without insurance, but even for the people that don't drive, we're talking property insurance, home insurance. Like it encompasses all kinds of insurances.
Right.
Okay. So we do start the year off with a bang, especially on New Year's Eve. There is an eclipse taking place.
Right.
In the sign of Cancer. It is a lunar eclipse. Lunar eclipses are a bit more intense than solar eclipses.
Right.
Because they're integrating lessons that we must learn. And while it's in the sign of Cancer, it's really around home, security, our private life, nurturing, and family. So it would be a really good New Year's to stay home with your family versus going out and partying with your friends. Okay?
Right.
Or, you know, have your friends over.
Right.
Keep it cozy. Staying in the home is the way to go this New Year's, believe it or not.
All right. You heard it here.
Yeah.
Sorry, people. No going out.
If you're single and you're young and you want to party it up, then obviously, you know, it may not be the best selection for you if you're out looking for a different type of entertainment. But typically the vibration is if you're home, you're safe.
Right.
Okay. The pair to that eclipse takes place on January the 15th, and that is the solar eclipse in the sign of Capricorn. And here we really need to reevaluate our career, public life, social status, issues with authority, or even how we can move forward towards our successes in life or whatever we desire to succeed in. Okay. There is another set of eclipse on June 26th, the lunar eclipse at 4 degrees of Capricorn. And then July 10th, the solar eclipse at 19 degrees of Cancer. So we're still integrating the same energy around the first set. Okay. Only it's in reverse this time. And then there's one more eclipse before the end of 2010, and that would be December 21st, where it's a lunar eclipse in the sign of Gemini. Its pair will be in January of 2011, back in Capricorn.
Okay.
So the dynamic is starting to shift. So this year, we really got to look at our personal life versus our public life, our home life versus our career. I know a lot of people are, you know, having difficulty with making those adjustments and transitions from being like a stay-home-at mom, for example, and then going out into the career or even just commuting on a day-to-day. Personally, I find the traffic is just getting heavier, right, every day. And if you had to drive that every day, it could be frustrating. So I'm thankful I don't have to. The other thing we have starting the new year off is a Mars retrograde. Mars goes retrograde this year on December the 20th,
right,
2009,
right,
in the sign of Leo. And when Mars is in Leo, people's egos have a tendency to be inflated.
Okay.
So with Mars going retrograde, in order for us to understand what it is our heart's desire is around, we need to eliminate anything that's stopping us from attaining our heart's desire. That is the purpose to this Mars retrograde. The downside of it is that in order to identify with what's blocking us from focusing on our heart's desire or just living in that love vibration, okay, which is all heart-centered energy, we need to dive into our unconscious and discover what's blocking us from being in that love vibration.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, the first response is anger. And that's because anger is always a secondary emotion. It's a cover-up for a fear of some form. So we need to identify with that anger so that we can go beneath the anger and move through whatever fear it is that's blocking us from living with an open heart. So Mars will be retrograde in the sign of Leo. People's egos will be inflated. And if anybody's ego is challenged, that's when you'll have that anger or aggression or frustration vibration.
Right.
Okay. If you can recognize that you're getting angry or frustrated because somebody's challenging your ego, that's when you're in the point of power to turn off the challenge and just identify, okay, ego issue, step back, breathe, and release whatever it is. You know, you don't have to consciously identify or pinpoint the core issue right then and there. You just, you're in a point of power to say, okay, I choose for this not to upset me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you can flip it right in the spot.
And how long is Mars in retrograde?
Mars will be retrograde until March the 10th. Yeah.
A little bit longer.
He goes retrograde every 22 to 24 months, okay. I believe. So about every 2 years. And it is a longer period because he is farther away from the Earth.
Right.
So he has a larger orbit than Venus or Mercury.
Right.
We also start the new year off with a Mercury retrograde.
Yes, we do. We're just like, woo!
Yeah.
What a great year we're starting with.
Yes.
I guess, you know, if they hit us all at once, it's got to get better, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the way I see it, with Mars retrograde, it is an intense energy.
Right.
Okay. So for a short period of time, we have this opportunity to release a lot of blocks that stop us from living our heart's desire. Okay. It's a short period of time, so it is intense. After it moves direct, it's like we can start working through those underlying issues so that once it moves out of the sign of Leo, we're clear.
Right.
And moving on.
Right.
So Mercury, which rules reason, the ability to communicate, short distance travel, or driving in our car, for example, goes retrograde on December 26, 2010 in the sign of Capricorn. So here we are reevaluating our career life, our public status, our public life, our social status, sorry. And we have the opportunity to do that review until January the 15th when it goes direct. It's still in the sign of Capricorn during this whole retrograde phase. All of the Mercury retrogrades in 2010 are in an Earth sign.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's,
and that's why when we look at our practical life, our dependable life, we're noticing some challenges. Okay. Whereas if we look to our spiritual life and our how we view life from the inside on a higher level, there's not as many challenges. Right? It's the mundane that's being challenged.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the ego's wrapped, is right. In the mundane.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the next Mercury retrograde is April 18th, 2010, and it goes retrograde in the sign of Taurus at 12 degrees, and it will be retrograde until May 11th, again in the sign of Taurus, so another Earth sign. The following will be August the 20th, 2010, at 19 degrees of Virgo, and it remains retrograde until September 12th, where it goes direct at 5 degrees of Virgo. So again, another Earth sign.
Mm-hmm.
December 10th, 2010.
Nice.
Is the last retrograde of 2010. And it will be retrograde at 5 degrees of Capricorn. Huh. So we're going to have the opportunity to review the retrograde that we were starting the new year with.
Hmm.
Okay. To reevaluate once again our career, public life, that kind of thing, social status. However, it will retrograde back into the sign of Sagittarius on December the 18th. So here we're mixing Earth and fire.
Okay.
Okay. It will go direct on December the 30th in the sign of Sagittarius. Mm-hmm. If we look at the vibration of Sagittarius, it's mutable, it's changeable. So even though we have the opportunity to reevaluate, mm-hmm. okay, our career, the dynamic will shift a little bit where we can actually pull in some passion energy. So it's like okay. the moment we align with, okay, this is what I want to do, so focus on that, there's the ability to get very passionate about it once it moves direct. And we do not start the next new year in a Mercury retrograde. So that's
good. That's good, yeah. Just 2 days before, but yes.
Yeah. But that's okay, because it's like that's a clean slate.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the personal planets.
Okay.
Okay. The outer planets have a little bit more impact on our evolution.
Right.
Okay. Not so much the day-to-day stuff where, you know, Mercury, Venus, Mars rules more the day-to-day. Okay. Even though there's a little bit of evolution taking place with Mars, it's more about moving beyond the ego. Okay. Which again is more of a mundane vibration versus an evolutionary vibration. Jupiter, the planet of growth, abundance, prosperity.
Mm-hmm. We sort of were talking about Jupiter before the show started. And yes, we were talking about the fact that, you know, a lot of people think Jupiter is about luck.
Yes. And not to say that it isn't.
Okay.
Okay. Because if you believe in luck and you believe you're lucky, then you are. Mm-hmm. However, Jupiter's energy isn't just about luck as we define what luck may mean. Okay. So to some people, luck may be getting to the bus stop and not having to wait in the winter. Okay. So you get there, the bus arrives, you're on the bus. Okay. That could be viewed as luck. To other people, it's winning $20 million in the lottery.
Right. Okay. Yes.
So we need to be careful of our definition of luck, first of all, and what we're doing in order to actually receive or attract that luck vibration. Okay. Jupiter gives us the power of attraction. Okay. So from an old dogmatic point of view, saying, you know, luck is just luck and you're either born with it or you're not, okay, versus everybody actually has the potential for luck. It's just how they focus their energy and what they desire to attract.
Right.
Okay. Both can be viewed as lucky, right? Some may be a little bit more planned out than others. But Jupiter's also a gambling vibration, like we had mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. So wherever Jupiter is in your chart, there is a tendency to gamble with that energy. So for example, if it's in your first house, then you may gamble with your own physical body. Okay. Kind of like crossing the street without looking both ways. Mm. Right. Fifth house, you're gambling, like gambling for money.
Right.
Okay. The track, lottery, that kind of thing. Seventh house, you may take advantage of your relationships because you're gambling with your relationship. Tenth house, you're gambling with your career. Okay. So.
Tenth house, is that the career one or is that more fame and.
It's social status and public life.
Okay.
Okay. Fame. You can go, when it comes to fame, I look at the sign of Leo. Leo naturally rules the fifth house. You can, if you want to be famous, then you can also look at the 11th house, which is hopes, wishes, and dreams. Mm. Okay. 10th house, there is recognition.
Right.
Okay. Fame is a type of recognition, but I wouldn't just exclude it. I wouldn't just say it's the famous house.
Right. Okay.
Okay. There's a potential for fame if that's what you want.
Right.
Jupiter's moving fast. Typically, he takes just over 11 months to travel through one zodiac sign.
Okay.
Next year, he's moving fast because he's been in Aquarius since January of this year.
Yeah, 23rd.
Okay. I'm glad you know because I can't remember. I look it up. So he's been in Aquarius since January 23rd this year. Uh-huh. He's moving out of Aquarius January 17th. Next year and into the sign of Pisces. Jupiter really, or I should say Pisces likes Jupiter because the ancient ruler of Pisces is Jupiter. So Jupiter will have a little bit more strength in the sign of Pisces than he would have, say, in almost any other sign. The other sign I'd say he's strong in is Sagittarius. Okay. However, he's only in the sign of Pisces for a short period of time.
Really?
Yes. On June the 6th, he will move into the sign of Aries.
Huh.
Of 2010.
That's really short.
Yeah.
That's now, not typical.
No, it's not.
Wow.
Now, it will retrograde back into Pisces, but again, still not for the same amount of time that he's in a sign. So he moves into the sign of Aries on June the 6th. On July 23rd, he goes retrograde at 3 degrees of Aries. So on September the 9th, he'll retrograde back into the sign of Pisces. And then November 18th, he goes direct, still in the sign of Pisces. And then he's in Pisces until January 22nd, where he officially moves into Aries. So when I tallied up the months, like if we take away how long he's in Aries for that short period, he's really only in Pisces for an 8.5 month period, which again, he's moving fast.
Yeah.
So he's in a fast orbit right now.
Huh. What is there a reason?
It has to do with this is where I try to take a three-dimensional universe and make it two-dimensional.
Right.
It has to do with the orbits.
Right.
What's the word?
Right.
It has to do with the orbit.
Yeah.
The orbit is not round. It's oval. And there's a proper word for it, but it just totally escaped me.
Ocular or... Anyway, yeah.
It has a matter. P in it.
Other astrologers are going, silly.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm getting all red now, too.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, well, stuff happens. When Jupiter is in Pisces, we're going to be working through a lot of spiritual stuff, okay? There, again, it's supporting on the creative vibration. So for musicians, artists, that type of dynamic, there's a potential for them to grow if they put the proper energy and focus into their career. If the thing with Jupiter is if you just sit and wait, nothing happens. Right. Opportunities will pass you by.
Right.
But if you're focusing your energy and working with drawing that power to you, then it comes easily. So as it's in the sign of Pisces, some suggested things to do is meditation, because there's the ability to tap into the unconscious mind at a stronger level. People will become more compassionate, caring, empathetic, understanding. But there's also this introspective energy with Jupiter and Pisces.
Right.
And that's why I believe meditation is so important during that time. Because you can do a large amount of soul growth or spiritual growth.
Okay.
Right? Not only within your own mind and uncovering unconscious blocks, but also within just developing your higher self and your consciousness. I also believe that more people are going to be focusing on being conscious.
Right.
Okay. And that's, you know, coming with the vibration of 2012. People are becoming more aware. This is just another astrological significance that's saying, okay, humanity, time to be even more aware.
Right.
Get conscious. Understand where you're operating from, why you're operating or behaving in a specific way. And that's what Jupiter in Pisces is allowing us the opportunity to do. When it moves into the sign of Aries for that short period, so that'll be from June 6th until September the 9th, it's on personal development. So it's really about working with personal development, personal growth, the I am self, or okay, who am I? Okay. On a big level, people will be asking those questions. So get ready.
And then we have it again in next year.
Next year, January 22nd, 2011 until June 2011.
And then it'll go retrograde again, though, too, probably.
it will go retrograde at some point in time. Yeah. I didn't look at the date or the dates for the retrograde in 2011, but yeah. And it'll be shifting into Taurus.
Right. Boy.
So there are some aspects taking place with Jupiter and the outer planets next year. We have Jupiter opposite Saturn, which takes place on May 23rd, 2010, August 16th, 2010, and then May 28th, 2011. This particular vibe, it's a push-pull energy. So if we look at Jupiter, Jupiter is about growth and expansion. Saturn is about limitation and restriction, and the two of them are at a face-off. When that happens, we will, you know, notice any obstacles that are standing in our path. So as we're moving forward towards developing and growing, and we will be challenged on, do you want to move through that obstacle, or are you going to allow that obstacle to stand in your way? Okay. Mm-hmm. And choose to stop or change direction. So it's a hard energy. It's a little like hard work. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's about putting the effort out there in order, again, to attract what you desire. And then just having that faith vibration that says it's going to pay off in the long run. It will help us get out of ruts in the long run. So if you're in any ruts, it'll show you what they are and potential opportunities to get out of them. Okay. Persistence and optimism will pay off when the cycle is complete. Okay. So again, the last, it is changing signs as well. So the May 23rd, Jupiter opposite Saturn is in the sign of Pisces and Virgo. So Jupiter's in Pisces, Saturn's in Virgo.
Okay.
That's really about karmic service, holistic health, you know, focusing on those vibrations. When we have the August 16th one, it's in the sign of Aries Libra. So relationships. Hmm. Who am I? Who am I within my relationship? Or what is my relationship to me? So that's where you may notice some challenges. As well as then May 28th, 2011, it's the Aries Libra vibration again.
Hmm.
Other Jupiter aspects is Jupiter conjunct Uranus. It can be exciting. Okay. So here's the opportunity to expect the unexpected in a big way. So make sure you're focused on positive results versus negative results, okay, with your consciousness. Because if you're aligned with thinking positive and seeing the benefit in everything, you will attract more of that, okay? If you're focusing on the negative and what's not working, then you will attract more of that.
Right.
So it all depends on where we're focusing our energy. So again, Jupiter's growth, abundance, prosperity. Uranus is chaos or freedom. Both planets are fighting for freedom. Hmm. Okay, because Jupiter likes freedom just as much as Uranus does. So here is the opportunity to achieve freedom. And freedom, whatever that means to each individual. There is a lot of surprises. Okay, twists and turns. It's kind of like a roller coaster ride. Okay, so if you like roller coaster rides, it's a good thing. And
who doesn't like roller coaster rides? Oh yeah, except when your life is a roller coaster.
Yeah. I love them. I think they're exciting and exhilarating, and I always lose my voice on them too.
Really?
I'm screaming. Yeah.
That's great.
So we need to remember that this is where, with this particular vibration, we need to consciously integrate following rules and regulations, because there's a tendency to disregard them. Okay. So if you do disregard them, then there's a negative association coming back to you with that. But if you follow them, then everything's fine. We have the first aspect of Jupiter conjunct Uranus on June 28th in the sign of Aries. Okay. So it's around the self. You may discover talents you didn't know you had.
Hmm.
Okay. The second one is when it's retrograde, September the 9th, in the sign of Pisces. And then we move into January 4th, 2011 in the sign of Pisces when it's direct.
Cool.
So I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Really?
If you like surprises, then I think it could be exciting. Yeah. And that's where I'm focusing on that, you know, $20 million lottery ticket surprise. Oh, cool. You won the lottery.
Yeah, I'd have to find the ticket on the ground because I just can't get myself to actually play them. But yeah.
Well, you never know. Somebody may gift you one.
Yeah.
And then that could be a winning ticket.
Cool. When should I go for those? When should I get a gift on tickets?
June the 8th or September 9th, 2010. And January the 4th, 2011.
All right.
Now, with these outer planet vibrations, you will feel the energy approaching before the date given and after the date given.
Right.
Okay. Usually, the farther away the planet, the more weeks you can add on to it. But okay. Typically, I feel a vibration coming, 2 to 3 weeks in advance. Okay. When we're dealing with Pluto, you may feel the vibration months in advance.
Right.
Because it's so far away.
Right.
That its orb is stretched out longer.
Right.
So the last major Jupiter aspect is Jupiter square Pluto. It's a little tense energy. Okay. A bit of a struggle, but again, just keep focusing on what your goals are. Keep working towards them and you'll be fine. It may seem as though other people or external events are plotting against you, but that doesn't mean that that's true. It means that you're putting way too much energy into what you're doing. Okay. So if you find that you're attracting this, somebody else is against me or people are working against me, just take a break. Okay. Because right. That's the sign. Take a break.
Right.
That's the dynamic.
As she has a kitten cuddle in her lap.
Yes. Purring away.
Purring away.
So taking action can certainly have positive effects in the long run. Okay. But we just need to integrate the right balance, confidence, and patience with this vibration. Hmm. The first Jupiter square Pluto is on July 25th, 2010, where Jupiter's in Aries and Pluto's in Capricorn. The second is August the 3rd, 2010. Same signs. And
those are kind of quick together.
Yes.
Okay.
It has to do with the July 25th, both planets are retrograde.
Oh, okay.
Then I guess
they go direct.
Then they move direct. I put them retrograde on both. One of them, they're retrograde. The other one, they're direct.
Right. Okay.
Oops. I knew that I would do some form of an error just because we're approaching Mercury retrograde.
Right. Exactly.
The dates are correct, by the way, though.
Good.
I double checked all the dates. The future one is February 25th, 2011. So that's at 7 degrees of Aries and 7 degrees of Capricorn. Hmm. If people who will notice it more intensely is anybody who has a lot of Aries energy at the beginning degrees or a lot of Capricorn energy.
Okay.
The other signs that'll feel it a bit stronger is also Cancer and Libra. So anybody with the degrees like towards the beginning. So if you're born at the Aries, Capricorn,
okay,
Libra,
I see.
Or Cancer.
Right.
Right. Within the first, 5 to 7 days.
Right.
Of when the sun changes signs. Kitty's getting comfy.
Yes.
Moving on to Saturn. Everybody's favorite planet.
Yes.
There is a lot of Capricorn energy taking place this year.
Really?
And Saturn is...
So it's all about career.
It's about career. It's about structures in our life. Okay. Anything that we're building in our life. How we operate out in public life or out in society. With Pluto being in Capricorn, it's official. He's in there. Okay. He's going to be there for a long time.
Did he just go into?
He went in this year.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
When Pluto changes signs,
yeah,
we notice this intense dynamic. Okay. So last year he was in Sagittarius entered Capricorn, went back into Sagittarius, and then officially entered Capricorn. Right. So we've had a solid year of Pluto in Capricorn.
Okay.
Okay. And what that is society is changing.
Yeah.
Okay. It is a slow evolutionary process. So it's not something that we can snap our fingers and expect it to be changed right away. It's transformational.
Mm-hmm.
The masses are changing. Okay. Again, slowly but surely, they are changing. With Saturn, Saturn is the ruler of Capricorn. So okay. When we have all these eclipses taking place in Capricorn and Pluto's in Capricorn and all the Mercury retrogrades or two Mercury retrogrades in Capricorn, there's a lot of emphasis on the cardinal energy. Cardinal energies are difficult. And it's not that they're difficult. How do I explain it? If we think of the tarot deck, for example,
right,
the four aces represent the four aspects of divine consciousness. That's cardinal energy.
Okay.
Okay. So it's about humanity and individuals working more with divine consciousness on all levels of being, mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual. Okay. Mm-hmm. And integrating that vibration. When the majority of humanity isn't at that level of awareness, then life becomes difficult.
Right.
Okay. But it doesn't mean it has to be. It just has to do with our perspective and our conscious awareness.
Right.
So with Saturn, he's kind of triggering all that vibration and change that's taking place. Saturn is in a cardinal sign. So it's going to be in the sign of Libra.
Okay.
Right now. It will retrograde back into the sign of Virgo. So Saturn goes retrograde on January the 13th, 2010. At 4 degrees of Libra. It will move into Virgo in April. And then it goes direct on May 30th, 2010 at 27 degrees of Virgo. And then Saturn moves back into Libra on July 21st, 2010. And it's there until October 2012.
Oh, okay.
Okay, yeah. So it's going to be there for a couple years.
Yeah.
And here we're working on limitations and restrictions within relationship or creating new foundations within our relationship. So first we need to identify with what's limiting us and restricting us before mm-hmm. we can create a new foundation. Okay. So it's a builder energy. We're building on relationships. We're completing up that, which we talked about the last time I was here, mm-hmm. the Saturn opposite Uranus.
Right.
We have two hits in 2010, and they are on April 26th, when Saturn is in Virgo and Uranus is in Pisces. And then again, July 26th, when they've changed. So Saturn is in Libra and Uranus is in Aries. So the first one in April 26th is around our path of service. And if people think back to what they were experiencing in September, around September the 15th, they can identify with the vibration that will transpire on April 26th because it's mimicking or mirroring.
Right.
Okay. There is a little bit of evolution that's transpired during those two dates. Mm-hmm. So it won't be identical, but we'll be put in a place of what's in our best interest.
Right.
And then having to choose. So because these two planets are mortal enemies in astrology, when they're opposing each other, again, we have a double face off energy. Right. So circumstances are heaved up by the outside. Okay. Wherever change is integrated, wherever we need to restructure our life, we will be shown in a very quick way or unexpected way where changes need to transpire.
Right.
So if you can think back to, again, September energy, prior dates to that were February 2009. And that was February the 5th, 2009. And then prior to that was November the 4th, 2008. And that was the U.S. election.
Right.
So. Your cat's very comfy.
Yes, he's very comfy.
So just be consciously aware that we need to keep integrating change.
Right.
Okay. So 2010, again, is another year of change. How you handle change is up to you. Another Saturn aspect that's taking place, and there was one on November the 15th, 2009, which was just a few weeks ago, or about a month ago.
Right.
Where it's Saturn square Pluto. And again, these two planets don't get along. When they're squaring, it's a bit of a challenge, vibration. It's like a feeling of stepping into unknown territory. It can be frightening, but I like to think of that as choosing to be excited about it instead of frightened. Okay, because it is a choice. You're forced to take a deep look at yourself and others around you. Okay. And at the end of this period, any excess baggage that you've been carrying around will be gone. So it's a very rejuvenating cycle once it's complete. We had, like I said, one November the 15th. There will, 2009.
Yeah.
There will be one January 31st, 2010. And then another August 21st, 2010. So by the end of August, there will be a lot of clearing that has transpired. Okay. People will feel lighter on some level of anything that, like, just letting go of what doesn't serve them.
Right.
If we look to the outer planets, there's not a lot of activity.
No.
Yay. Yeah.
Is that a good sign?
I think so.
Okay.
One of the, there's some activity, just there's no major aspects between Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto.
Okay.
Which is a good sign.
Is it? Okay.
The only thing with Uranus is it's changing signs.
Okay.
Okay. So since March of 2003, it's been in the sign of Pisces.
Oh.
Okay. Where we've seen a little bit of change within humanity on a global level with being conscious or more spiritually evolved. The arts have changed a little bit. So how people, you know, create or tap into their creative power has shifted a lot as well. It is moving into the sign of Aries on May 27th, 2010. It will retrograde. So Uranus goes retrograde July 5th, 2010 in the sign of Aries, where it will step back into Pisces on August the 13th and then move direct on December the 5th. It's back into the sign of Aries March 11, 2011. And it's there for 7 years. So until around May 2018.
Hmm.
So there will be a little bit of a shift. It's really around self-identity. Okay. So awakening to your true self-identity.
Good.
I think it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people in the world that aren't authentic or true to themselves.
Yeah.
And this vibration, which is a 7-year cycle, is giving them the opportunity to be more authentic
right.
to themselves.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So Neptune remains in Aquarius. Retrograde dates, May 31st, 2010, it goes retrograde. And then November 7th, it goes direct. It's been in Aquarius since January 1998. It'll be there until April 2011. Mm. We're just working with the Pluto in Capricorn vibration,
right.
which is, you know, the change in society. If you want to get into Chiron, we can.
Sure, let's talk about Chiron.
Chiron is an asteroid, which some astrologers use them, some don't.
Right.
Okay. He was an asteroid, in mythology. He represents our wounds that we come into this incarnation with, as well as how we heal those wounds and then evolve beyond them. Okay. He has a very irregular orbit. So most people around the age of 49 to 51 experience their Chiron return. And what that represents is Kundalini rising. So he is somewhat in control of the Kundalini rising so that we can recognize the blocks that exist within our chakras and then heal those blocks. Now, we have opportunities prior to that age to work with Chiron. But he's what they call the wounded healer. Okay. He was wounded, then he healed, and then he teached that healing to others. Chiron's been in Aquarius since 2005. He will be moving into the sign of Pisces on April 20th, 2010. When we're dealing with Chiron in Pisces, we're looking at more our karmic cycles, okay? Things that we've come into this lifetime in order to heal and evolve beyond. So everybody's giving the opportunity to recognize their healing and then work through it, okay, so that they can master that dynamic. It's where you take a... It's where you take one of your weaknesses and turn it into a strength.
Okay.
Okay. So if we think of everything's made up of opposites, okay, where there's a positive, there's a negative, where there's black, there's white, it goes the same with any quality that we have amongst about ourselves. We can believe it's a negative quality or we can believe it's a positive quality.
Right.
There's times we can take a quality, okay, and use it in a negative way or use it in a positive way. The thing is, with the human mind, we have a tendency to focus on, you know, what may be wrong with us instead of what's right.
Right.
Okay. Where we can take that thing that's wrong and flip it into something that's right. And that's what Chiron's giving us the opportunity to do. So for, just to give you an example, if I were to say somebody's aggressive, okay, most people right away would be, oh yeah, that's not a good trait. Okay. They would think, oh, it's got a negative vibration.
Sure.
But there are times where you need aggression in order to succeed in life.
Right.
Okay. So now aggressive doesn't mean I'm going to step on other people. It just means I'm going to keep pushing forward. Okay. So I can use that aggressive tendency to continue to, say, develop my career.
Right.
Okay. And move forward within my career. However, so that's where we can use aggression in a positive way, okay? The masses see somebody who's aggressive and they're like, oh no, that's not a good trait, okay?
Yeah.
Because typically it's not used in a positive light.
Right.
So Chiron's giving us this opportunity to take our negative traits and use them in a positive way, if we choose to.
Right. It's always a choice.
It is always a choice.
It's always a choice. Yeah. Well, that's, I'm not, is this good news? Or, so do you think overall, what do you think the year is going to be like?
I'm excited about the year.
Good.
Okay. Doesn't mean it's an easy year.
Right.
It means that we need to be persistent. We need to keep focusing on what our dreams are and our goals in life.
Right.
The way I see it, it can't be any worse than last year.
Let's hope, right?
So you know what? It can only be better, right?
There you go. Okay.
As we work towards
last evolution, year's in 2008 or this year is in 2009?
No, this year's in 2009.
I hear you, sister.
Yeah. As we work towards evolution, okay, we need to overcome these challenges.
Mm-hmm.
When it seems like this continual challenge after another challenge after another challenge, on a mundane level, yeah, you can be ripping your hair out. Okay. Right. On a spiritual level, you're doing huge evolutionary growth.
Right.
So, you know, look to the positive. If you can't find a positive in your day to day, say, yeah, I'm getting brownie points on the other side. Right. That's the way I look at it. That's what gets me through it.
That's a good way to sidestep that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in order for humanity to evolve, as we're, you know, we're all supposed to by 2012.
Right. Yeah. Well,
we are put through these tests and challenges.
Yeah.
Okay. So that we can grow stronger as individuals and stand in what our beliefs are.
Right.
Okay. As opposed to others dictating our beliefs.
Right. Wow. You had mentioned that the year, 2010 is a 3-year vibration.
Yes.
We had talked earlier that there were some hidden aspects to that, and I don't think we brought in the tarot or anything.
Oh, okay, so yes, there are some hidden aspects to that. If we look at the tarot and compare it to the tarot, there's a form of numerology that works with the 22 major arcana cards.
Right.
And so we look at all the 22 major arcana cards that add up to three. Okay. Now, because it's not in the formula, so when you add 2 plus 1, you get 3. You're not going to get 12. You're not going to get 21.
Right. I don't know what I know what I was thinking. I was thinking we get 2009 was an 11 year. And I was for yes. some reason thinking that this had to be a 12 year. And it's not at all.
An 11 too. And that's interesting about that. You bring that up about 2009 mastery.
Yeah.
So 11s, 22s are a mastery number. When we're in a mastery year, it's never easy.
Oh, now somebody should have told us that at the beginning of the year.
Because we're here to master something, which means the constant returning of a cycle or an experience in order to get it right.
Right.
Okay. So it's kind of like you got to do something 1,000 times to break a habit. Okay. Same dynamic with mastery.
Right.
You have to relive it over and over and over again in order to change the dynamic. So, yes, the hidden factors of 2010 or 2010. I'm so used to 2010. Is the 12 vibration, which is associated to the Hangman and the planet Neptune. The difficulty with the Hangman and Neptune is... it's a vibration that the moment you think you've got it figured out, you'll be proven wrong. Neptune rules the soul self. So the consciousness of your soul, which its vibration is so high that you can't reduce it to logical reasoning.
Okay.
So that's where it gets tricky, because it's a vibration that you can tap into, say, in meditation. But the moment you become conscious after that meditation, it'll be the snippets that you don't remember.
Okay.
Okay. So even though you had an experience in your meditation, it's like, wow, that was really powerful in the moment you come back, you won't be able to translate what you experienced. You still may be able to hold the vibration, but it's going to be very hard to put that in words. Okay. So it's a very high vibrational energy that rules the, you know, super unconscious mind. So it is here that we work with illusions, disillusion, faith, and it is divine will.
Okay.
Okay. So to look at it in its lowest vibration is divine will.
That's its lowest?
It's highest vibration that you can rationalize.
Yeah, I was going to say that sounds
or bring into the lowest.
That sounds actually like a good thing.
Yeah. That's how you can rationalize it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's the contract that your soul has with the divine.
Okay.
Okay. So you may understand its vibration when you raise your own personal vibration and go into that space. But to bring that consciousness back down, I'm not going to say it's impossible, but it's not necessarily easy to do.
Right.
Right. There may be somebody out there who has done it. I'd like to meet them.
All right.
It's kind of like being in that blissful state of consciousness when you're completely like in this state of nirvana.
Right.
It's you're just in that state.
Yeah. Okay?
You can't do anything with that state. You can't focus. You can't function. You're just enjoying the moment.
Right.
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 So, yeah.
Cool.
The other hidden vibration is the world, which is ruled by Saturn.
Oh. Okay.
And it's around accomplishment, completion, limitation, restriction.
Hmm. You okay. usually think of the world as the positive aspects, though, versus the...
Yes.
Yeah.
In the tarot card.
In the tarot, yeah.
You do see it. Because it's what your soul has accomplished through its karmic patterning. So through the lessons, through taking all the steps in every tarot card, okay, you've reached accomplishment. And... again, when you view it that way, it's very positive, isn't it? That's what Saturn is. So if you, and again, take the example of building. If you put the proper, if you dig the proper foundation, you put the right amount of bricks in the proper order, you have the right mortar, you have, you know, steel posts in between those bricks and concrete those in place. If you have a strong vibration or foundation, there is nothing but success from then on in.
Right.
Okay. If there's holes, so if you, oh yeah, I'm not going to put a brick here, I'm not going to put a steel post here, you know, that building's not going to stand. And the people that give Saturn a bad rap, okay, I'm not saying it is an easy vibration, are the ones that like to leave a brick out or not put the steel beams in, right? Mm-hmm. Trying to take shortcuts. Saturn doesn't allow for shortcuts. If you take a shortcut with Saturn, you will fall back. But if you take each step that's required, okay, then success and accomplishment is guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
So we're being reminded somewhat that the steps this year are very, very important.
Okay.
Okay. Not allowing past behavior to determine your current or future reality. Because quite often when we're experiencing something and we have an emotional reaction to it, it's because we've already experienced that and a specific outcome transpired that we didn't like. Okay. So when we re-experience a lesson, all we can think about is that outcome that we didn't like. Mm-hmm. We're not giving opportunity for a different outcome, right? Or even just a different perception around the outcome. Whereas if you first allow a new perception around the outcome, see how that experience has served you. Because every challenge in life has served you some way, shape, or form. Your emotional attachment to what you experienced will block your ability to see how that experience has allowed you to evolve or overcome something or find the benefit in it.
Right.
So, and you know, we're all human. We all have an ego, and that's what the ego is. It's our emotional attachment to what we believe should transpire instead of just allowing and being.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's a conscious muscle that requires development, and it can take years to develop.
Right. And when we're in like the 2000s, I mean, do we sometimes just look at the year 10? Because then that's, you know, either a karma or it's the Wheel of Fortune or...
You can, but then you would also have to look at the 20 in front of it, which is judgment.
Okay.
And Pluto. Transformation. Awakening. Resurrection. Redemption.
Do you like that card?
No. I'm just finishing my own little personal journey with Pluto.
You're right.
So I'm familiar with that card.
Yeah, you sounded a little, what's the word? Aggressive when you were reading off those.
I would choose firm.
Oh, was that? Okay.
One of those based on past experience things that I was just telling you about, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we can have the knowledge. Practical application is a completely different thing.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that is the story, isn't it? We have to find that way to, you know, balance out everything.
Mm-hmm. I read somewhere, I can't remember where I read it or else I would give credit. I had read somewhere that the age of Aquarius is actually the age of light.
Oh, cool.
Where we're coming out of the age of Pisces and moving into the age of Aquarius.
Do we really know when this is supposed to happen? I mean, they've been talking about it since the 60s.
Since the 60s.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's a vibrational shift.
Okay.
Okay. And basically, so what I had read was the age of Aquarius is the age of light.
Nice.
And we're moving. Not only are we shifting from one age into another, we're going from the dark ages into the light ages.
Mm.
So in order for humanity to embrace the light, they must first walk through the dark and find their own internal light in that process. So I think with this, what they call quickening experience as we approach 2012 is we're still in the shadow, okay, on some level, and we almost can see that light.
Mm-hmm.
So like, just keep focusing on that light vibration and raising your own vibrations and, you know, then the light will be there.
Right. Well, you've been a joy as always.
Thank you.
Tell people how they can get a hold of you.
You can visit my website at www.universalsky.com. My email address is nancy@universalsky.com, or my number local to GTA is 905-717-1452. And outside the GTA, my office number is 905-989-2979.
Perfect. All right. So I'm sure we'll have you back. We'll have to come up with a different theme. But
okay.
As always, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Okay.